Hey, flippers and bumpers, welcome to the Flips and Bumps podcast. Podcast about two guys trying to make some money, the flips that make them that money, and the bumps in the road they face along the way. You want to get a hold of this show? There's a couple easy ways to do so. Number one, email flipsandbumpspodcast@gmail.com. Number two, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Feel free to DM us all you want. Tell us literally anything. We will potentially read it on air. I say potentially, but I mean we're going to read it on air. And then the other way to do so, the most important way that I believe that you can help out our podcast is by just checking it out. Every single Monday morning, we drop a podcast in audio form at flipsandbumps.com or in video form on our YouTube page. On YouTube, just head on over to YouTube, however you do that, search Flips and Bumps Podcast, our channel comes up, and then you got to subscribe. We're like a quarter of the way where we got to be in order to get a website, a direct link to it. And I'm just, I'm tired of telling people to just search for us. I feel that's cheating. Anyway, we have two hosts on this show. Together we form the Thrift Seekers. I'm one of the Thrift Seekers. My name is Sasha, and I'm joined by my dear friend. It's the whole flipping show. It's Pee-wee.
Hey, you are getting this intro down. I liked that one today. That was great.
I missed the video game whisperer.
Oh, and, I don't care about that. No, it's fine. You got the meat and potatoes out there. I thought it was great.
Thanks. I'm trying to get in the zone. We did a different podcast, our other podcast, Bitter Marks. Oof, that was a rough one.
All-time low, right?
All-time low. And so I felt crappy all week about that podcast. Aww. And then I was like, "What? Who cares? I still like doing the podcast."
Yeah, it's fine. We'll bounce back. We can only go up. We can only go up from here. We're good.
Oh, we can go down. But even if we do, it doesn't matter. So what's going on?
I got high hopes for today's episode of Flips and Bumps.
Okay.
I feel like I am back. I am. I've been listing on eBay. I've been garage sailing. I am a new man. I feel rejuvenated. I'm reborn in the flipping world.
Well, I'm glad you are because I haven't been. Even though I'm aiming for an all-time high in sales this month, the first week has not gone very well. I shouldn't say it has not gone very well. It's just I haven't put any extra effort into it this week. So
okay,
let's start things off. Since, I mean, you're rejuvenated, I got to capture that moment quickly. So let's start things off. I'm going to be starting off on the clock. What on the clock means is, well, sometimes we have stuff to say, sometimes we don't. But it's my turn to talk about whatever it is that I want to talk about this week. I did want to mention that 3K in sales goal that I'm trying to get to. Like I said, after the first week,
Don't like hearing that.
But I've already been like excited to get started this upcoming week. Like, okay,
cool.
This is the week to get things going. And then you're obviously helping me out without even knowing it, because I'm getting the notifications that you are starting to post things, and it's getting me excited to start posting things.
I forgot that you do that. I got to do that with your story. You got to tell me how to do that, because I don't follow any stores, so I don't know the whole process on getting notified when anybody lists something new. I honestly didn't even know you could do that.
Neither did I, and that's why I don't know how to turn it off. I favorited your store one time, so I can, like, whatever.
Oh, I wonder if it's a store thing. I wonder if I can't do it for you because you don't have a store.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I do not know. It was a while ago. I feel like maybe it was before you had the store. But you've always had a store, right? You just upgraded your store.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Yeah, so who knows? Anyway, you don't need to follow me. Anyway, first things first, or second things second, however you want to call it. I did want to send a shout-out to our dear friend DJ Pano, a.k.a. Great Greek Peak. Greek Peak is even better.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
A couple weeks ago, I think it might have been the show that I did by myself. Maybe. I said that I have this Hulk figure that I've been trying to get rid of.
Okay.
And if anybody wanted it, they could just claim it from me.
I think this was weeks ago when you didn't know it was Hulk. Right? That was the thing where you literally bought an Incredible Hulk figure and didn't know it was the Incredible Hulk. right?
Yes, but all I did
was... How is that possible?
I posted it, right? Like, I just posted that for on eBay for sale for a long time, and it never ended up selling. And it was something I only bought for, like, $1.99. It's actually in, like, one of our only videos on YouTube.
Oh, your like, Goodwill.
Yeah, where I went to, like, video. 7 Goodwills in a day or whatever.
Yeah.
It's on there. Well, that's why you can see it, because it's, like, an Avengers thing with the glove guy, except it's a green head. So, like, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Okay.
Anyway, DJ Pano reaches out, and he's like, hey, if you're getting rid of that, I'll gladly take it. And so I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so he actually stopped by my house at like 11 p.m., which was awesome. I believe my neighbors thought we were dealing drugs, just openly in the street, as drug dealers often do. But I would have left the thing for him in my mailbox for him to pick up, but it was too big. It didn't fit in my mailbox.
That makes sense.
So we got to talk. I haven't talked to him. I mean, I'm celebrating this weekend my 5-year wedding anniversary, and I kind of feel like that might have been the last time I saw Pete.
Well, there you go. Okay. 5-year reunion with Pete as well. Congratulations on the wedding anniversary.
Thanks. We did it. We made it 5 years. A lot of people owe me money, so pay up, mom and dad. And, well, yeah, so he came over, and not only did he claim this excellent prize for possibly for his son, but he was like, hey, I was leaving work, and someone was throwing out a bunch of VHS tapes, and I took them. Do you want them? And I was like, yes, you know I want them. And so he just went into his car, pulled them out, and there are a bunch of, like, Oprah and Dr. Phil and, like, all these, like, just recorded tapes.
Oh, it's recorded, though. It's like a DIY home movie, home recordings. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think there's any value there?
If there's commercials in there, I think there's going to be a little bit of value there.
It's so crazy that that is what makes value in VHS. Like, well, does it have the commercials? Like, the commercials are the gold in the VHS game. That's nuts.
Yeah, the VHS game is also a great game. The only other thing that I wanted to talk about on the clock for me, I was thinking of something this week, and I was like, I got to get Pee-wee's opinion on this. If video games and toys tank in value, right? There's no more value in video games and toys. Are you flipping, and what are you flipping? Like, where do you head?
That's crazy that you bring up that specific question. I had that thought, I mean, a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, not necessarily of if what happens if tomorrow the bottom falls out on the market of whatever video games or toys, but just I've seen the market fall off.
It's so hot now. Like,
it's so hot right now, but then, like, 8 years ago, Atari was super, super hot. Now, you can't get rid of Atari stuff. Most games. Most games are under $1, so they're not even worth asking for at garage sales. I don't think video games and toys, at least of this era, eventually, I stand by that 30-year, 35-year rule of whatever was hot, whatever was purchased 30, 35 years ago is going to be hot currently. But eventually, the only reason I'm doing it now is because it interests me. What was hot, what was bought 35 years ago, what's hot right now is stuff that interests me, video games and toys, because that's the stuff I grew up with. I also put a ton of emphasis on the flipping game right now. Like, it's my goal right now, and I hope my boss is not listening, but my goal in like my career is not my actual job. It's my focus. My main focus is the flipping stuff. There's nothing that says this is a permanent thing. You know what I mean? The bottom could definitely fall out. I've been reconsidering how I'm looking at the flipping game and how much focus I'm putting on my actual career versus the flipping game. And I am considering at this point, still not doing, but putting more time into my actual career on the part that quote unquote pays the bills. Just because that's probably what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. I don't know that I'm going to be flipping for the rest of my life. It's something that I'm not certain of one way or another right now.
Yeah. I don't know like why that question popped into my head, but I was like, I wonder is it? I mean, like, I'm talking tomorrow. Let's say tomorrow it comes out that video games were on Epstein's island, and like, you know,
sure, something
toys get canceled.
I gotcha.
Yeah, and something happens. So tomorrow, like, what's the plan? Is there a new direction that you would head, or are you still like, well, that's what I like. I would just have to find them at that even cheaper price, or
no. I mean, the short term plan is pause. Let's wait. Let's see if it comes back.
Yeah.
After, let's say, so I don't do anything for a year. I stop picking stuff up. I stop trying to sell. I stop doing shows. I stop doing all that stuff. I pause and I just focus on other aspects of life. And then after a year, I reevaluate. And then if at that point I still feel that it's not coming back anytime soon, then I'm up, right? Like, I'm up right now, even if you include all the inventory that I have in my basement. I'm up on my sales that I've sold through eBay. I'm up on my sales that I've done through my convention. I'm up on the entire process. When I say, if you don't understand what I mean by up, I just mean money that I've spent on this whole thing, on inventory, on doing shows, on travel, on hotels, on whatever. That money versus the amount of money that I've made on the other end, selling on eBay, selling at conventions, whatever. I'm up there. So in addition to that, I also have a ton of inventory, where, you know, which you can also add onto my upness. If the bottom drops out, then that part of my profit, the inventory part that I'm currently sitting on, is gone. All I would do at that point, if I decide that there is no foreseeable future for the toy and video game stuff, the stuff that's taking up literally my entire basement, I'd probably focus on my collecting. I would find other guys who are in similar boats, and I would trade them my stuff. Because I'm sure I have stuff down there that they are interested in, and I would trade them stuff that I am interested in for my personal collection, and I would just try to get as much personal value out of the stuff that I have as I could.
Yeah,
I think that's a very short thinking answer. I haven't thought much about it, but
well, yeah. That's another reason why I didn't want to give you that question beforehand. I didn't want you to think about that question. I wanted you to kind of be like, just spur of the moment with it. And you do bring up a good point. It's like, you say you're thinking about, you know, like more about doing the flipping than your own personal job, you know, like,
yeah.
And there's so many like different things that could happen that could affect the reselling game. Like, I mean, eBay could change rules tomorrow. They can become like Amazon and, you know, you're basically blocked from selling in all kinds of different categories until you pass eBay's rule. Like,
sure. Let's say eBay goes out of business.
Yeah, I mean, literally, there's thousands of possibilities.
Right.
Endless possibilities of things that could happen. And you already see, like a lot of people make money reselling Nike shoes, like from Nike outlet stores. If you can find stuff from Marshalls and TJ Maxx and stuff, and all that's a whole business unto itself. Well, now I've seen, I don't know if it's Nike in particular, but I've seen a bunch of others. Like retail locations that are starting their own reselling stuff. So that it's like, instead of giving them to the public, they're like, oh yeah, we'll sell secondhand stuff here. You know, like instead of in eBay, you just would go to Nike reselling. You know what I mean?
It's the equivalent of Goodwill holding stuff and making their own auction site or their own eBay.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, the world is constantly changing. It
makes sense. Again, the same way I can't blame Goodwill for doing that, I can't blame any other company for trying to make the most dollar that they can if the stuff that they have in inventory is worth more than they're selling it for. I don't blame them for trying to get top dollar, but as flippers and as resellers, we do need to realize that and stay on top of it to make sure that we are not fully protected, but at least prepared when instances like that do happen.
Yeah, 100%. And good call. Good conversation there. I enjoyed
it's,
that.
So. It's definitely something we should definitely circle back to at some point, too, just because I'm sure the thoughts on that specific topic of what do we see in our future and where would we go, I think that'll come up again.
And you're right. Like, you can't blame anybody. You can't blame Nike for trying to do things. You can't blame Goodwill for hiking up prices. But you can blame Savers. It's out of control. Okay. All right, you're on the clock, Pee-wee.
Oh, wow. You didn't have much. Okay. Nope. I also don't have a ton for being on the clock. Let's start out with the... I'm going to have to make a graphic for the VHS game. I wanted to talk quickly on VHS. I went to my my local thrift store where I do their video game testing, and they've gotten to the point where they're now saving VHS for me because normally they just throw it out. Now, I don't, I'm not you. I don't want to hold on to a ton of VHS tapes. I don't want to fill my basement with
this
stuff.
That's your
problem. I don't have a ton of purpose for this stuff. But what I am looking for now, I take them all. My theory when somebody is doing you a big favor like this, like they are holding all this inventory, and it's not money, it's not stuff they would be making money on, but it's space that it's taking up in their facility. I want to do anything I can to make sure they know I'm appreciative of what they're doing. So I won't go there and be like, okay, I don't need 95% of these. I'll just take these 5%. Instead, I say, I'm just very, very thankful. Thanks for holding these for me, guys. I'll get them out of your hair. I'll get them to a good home. Then I take the whole bin. I take 100% of them. I bring that home. And at my own personal home, I throw away 95% of them. It's a very small thing to do. But the opposite of this is if I do say, okay, I'm going to take 5% of these. I'll take these three tapes. You keep these 25, and you can toss these out. If I put that responsibility on them, next time they get them, they might not hold them for me. They're going to be like, well, Pee-wee last time just held that. He just took three of them. He probably won't want any of these. He's just going to throw them all out. Versus the thinking of, oh, last time we got VHS tapes, we offered them to Pee-wee, and he came in. He brought in all of them, or he grabbed all of them from us and was so appreciative. We got to do that again for him. Giving people more opportunities to do nice things for you in those specific instances, I think there are right and wrong ways to do it. And I think, yes, it's more of a hassle for me. It'd be much easier for me just to grab the three or four that I want and then leave the rest and have them deal with it. But I'm willing to put in the extra work. It's not a ton of work, but the extra work of going through it at home and filling up half my garbage can full of VHS tapes that I don't need. A tear from Sasha's eye.
How many tapes are they giving you, by the way?
That one was, it was probably 15 tapes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that absolutely.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't much.
I thought they were giving you like 1,000 tapes, and then you're like stuffing your entire car with VHS,
and I'd be fine with that. I'd still do the same thing. I would still go through it at home, and then I'd find some way to dispose of them. I'm also not that. I don't dive in headfirst into VHS like you do. The only VHS that I'm now looking up is sealed VHS.
Yeah.
The sealed VHS was something I had not considered before, but now if I do see a sealed VHS tape, and by sealed I just mean in the original plastic, has no tears, looks in decent shape, then I'm going to grab that or pick it up at a garage sale or whatever it is, depending on the content from there. But the loose ones that are in bad shape, I'm just leaving those behind. I don't really even bother with those at all.
Yeah, unless you see like horror or wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Horror is the way to go. Wrestling is that good? Is it that good to pick it up? Like,
I mean, just you're interested in it.
Oh, okay.
Or you
own
give
personal
it to me.
Good. Okay,
yeah.
There you go. Okay, that makes more sense. The other tip that I did want to go over was something I've been trying to get better at. When I'm starting to, with the video game shows behind me, my next video game show not until October. My schedule is opening up now. Like I said, I'm able to list more. I'm able to go to more garage sales. I'm able to do more stuff. But getting out of the house and going to more garage sales, I am trying to, for this podcast and not, I'm trying to improve my game. And one of the huge errors or one of the huge holes in my garage sailing game is when I go to a garage sale and I ask them the questions, do you have any video games? Or I collect video games, do you have anything? Nintendo, Game Boy, GameCube, 64, Wii, DS, whatever, Sega, PlayStation, whatever your list is. And they say, I have stuff in the basement that I don't want to dig out right now because I'm busy with the garage sale. Or they say, well, I don't, but my brother has some stuff. Let me, I will get your phone number and let me have him call you. Anytime that happens where they put it off and they want to deal with you later, usually my go-to was just like, oh, no problem. Do you want to take my number? They always would. I would always write my number. I would go every weekend. I'd probably write my number down between 5 and 8 times at garage sales. Have you had this before? Have you left phone numbers?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've left my card. I've never given
my
phone
number. Okay, there you go. That's okay. But when you've left your card, how many callbacks have you gotten?
Oh, zero in my
zero,
life.
Zero, right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not even 1 out of 10. It's not 1 out of 20. It's my numbers are probably 1 out of 40 or 1 out of 60. I get a callback. Those numbers I do not like. I do not like doing something to get 1 out of 40 returns on. So this is, to me, a hole. What can I do to recalculate, reevaluate how I'm performing on this level? Because there is inventory to get there. There are games that are available. It's just a lot of times what happens, I think, is they do a garage sale and I'm there on a Friday afternoon. And let's say it's late and it's the time I prefer to go. Late on a Friday, late on a Saturday. By late, I mean 11:30 noon on these days and late for garage sale times. And I am going in there and I'm asking about video games when there's nobody else there. So I've got time to talk to them. They're on downtime because there's nobody else there around lunchtime. And they're able to think about what they have. When they do think about that stuff, we end up getting to talking. But they've gotten to the point where they don't want to, you know, search them out. We've gotten to a point where they realize it's not easily accessible. And we have to part ways. I've started to... I had a point there. I'm sorry. I know I just repeated half the stuff that I said originally. I had a second point that I was going to make, and I don't remember what it was. Either way, my solution for this is instead of saying, do you want to take my phone number? Do you want to, you know, can I give you my number? Will you give me a call when you find the stuff? I will start the conversation of the communication. Okay. Okay, that's fine. You know, I don't need the stuff right now. I'm not in a rush for it. Oh, let me back up because I just remember what my point was. They're doing a garage sale on Friday, Saturday, blah, blah, blah. They're busy. They're thinking they're in the garage sale mindset. Sunday comes and they're just relieved that garage sale is over because they've had this weekend of getting up early, moving their cars, setting up signs, setting stuff out on the driveway, pulling stuff back into the garage, pulling your cars back in, setting the signs back up. You know what I mean? All this back and forth. Finally, Sunday comes, they're done. And I was there on Friday. Now it's Sunday and they're not thinking about me. It's yes, I'm thinking about them because in my mind, it's a potential lead for video games. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about the other, you know, 400 transactions and people that they saw during the weekend. Or they're not. Or they're just not
and
thinking about any part of it.
All their stuff that's left over that hasn't
yes,
been sold.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. They're not thinking about this extra, this little tiny piece of paper, this scrap piece of paper that they ripped off the corner and they're trying to figure out what to do with. This is why the callbacks never happen. It's not because they don't want to sell you the games. It's because they've really forgotten about it. And then we get to maybe Tuesday or Wednesday the following week comes. And now they're like, oh, you know what? That video game guy was here, but I don't want to call. Like now the personal connection that you had with them when you were talking is gone. They had so many interactions over the weekend. They cannot remember, was he a nice guy? Was he like a scumbag guy? Like there's too much fuzziness in their memory as far as it being that long ago and them having so many interactions between then and now. And because of that, they don't want to call. They don't want to talk to essentially a stranger and hope that they have that they remember the interaction correctly. Were you the guy that was asking about video games? Did you want old games? They don't want to go through all that again. So maybe they'll tell themselves, oh, maybe I'll call him tomorrow. Maybe I'll call him tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow never comes. And we never get the callback. I've had callbacks before, but it's led to stuff, but it's always, like I said, it's literally 1 out of 40 phone numbers that I leave, and I'm leaving 5 to 8 a weekend. It takes 2 months to get one callback. It's not worth it. So what can you do? The solution that I'm working on now is how do I get their number, right? If I can get their number, then I can contact them. I'm not going to bug them, but I'm definitely going to remind them. I'm definitely going to reach out and I'm definitely going to follow up and I'm definitely going to make sure that they remember who I am. But how do we get that number? I'm trying to figure out ways to do it in like a smooth transactional sort of way. I don't want to come off as a creep guy. The best way I've found so far is I tell them, yeah, you know, they'll say something like, it's in the basement. I don't want to get it right now. I say, that's no problem. Do you want me to leave my number? They'll say, yeah. And then I'll go, great. Do you want me to text it to you? This way, they don't have to find a piece of paper. I don't know why, but every time I leave my phone number, it's always written down. And people never have paper and they never have pen. People go in the house constantly to go like try to track down. It's always like a hassle. So using this knowledge that it's always, for whatever reason, it's always a hassle for them to find paper and pen. I just go, okay, I'll do the work for you. Give me your phone number. I'll just send it to your phone. You can deal with it later. So now they're giving me their phone number. I'm typing it into my phone, and I'm texting them two or three things. I'm texting them my phone number, my name with video games after it, and then some sort of reminder as something that we talked about. Like I had a guy on Friday where we were going back and forth about video games. The wife was like, honey, do you have anything? Was there any video games that you wanted to get rid of? He's like, yeah, I don't want to get rid of any of my sports games, but, and this was music to my ears. Yeah. I don't want to get rid of any of my sports games, but the other ones I don't care about. So while yes, that's music to my ears, it was still a callback. So I don't have my hopes up on it. But in my text to him, so I did that thing. I can text you my number if you want. They said yes. They gave me their number. And I sent a text to them right there. It said Pee-wee, video games. And my phone number was obviously connected because they're getting the text. And then under that, I put no sports games, ! It's reminding them of the interaction that we had. It's kind of silly because I put like 4 ! After it. And then the most important part for me is that's a note for me. Because without them knowing, it's a note, and now I know whose number that is. Because I don't put their names in. So now the next step is, when do you follow up? I don't. If I'm getting phone numbers on Thursday and Friday, I don't follow up Thursday and Friday afternoon. I will usually. I think my plan. Again, I'm in the early stages of this, but my plan for right now is to wait until, for the numbers that I got this weekend, I'll probably wait till Monday and Tuesday and just send out texts. Hey, this is Pee-wee. I was at your garage sale. Or I'll just say, hey, it's Pee-wee again. And I'll use my real name. And I'll give some sort of reminder of the conversation that we had. Did you find any of the video games that we talked about? Did you find any of those non-sports games or whatever I'll do? This is something I'll definitely have to report back on as far as what I'm finding is a good way to get them to respond back as far as timing-wise when I send the text. But I think this is a much better way to open up those communication lines and get it going instead of leaving your phone number and just hoping that they get the motivation to call you back, which will never happen. What are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound as scummy as half the stuff you do. So, like, I'm totally for
it. Fantastic. There you go. Chalk one up for the good guys. So the words that I'm going to use, again, if you want to use this verbatim, I can text you my number if you want. Very friendly, very nice. They almost always say yes. They're giving you their number, and you are good to go from that point.
I like it.
And that's all I have. I have very little stuff on the clock this week. I do have a decent list of stuff for GST, so I think we should get there. But otherwise, I'm good to go.
Cool. There was actually one thing that I missed. I didn't have too much to say about it, which is why I didn't say anything about it, but... our friend Craig on Instagram did send us something. There's apparently something called the world's longest yard sale. And I wanted to ask you if you had heard about this.
What road is this on? Do you know?
I don't know the road. It says it goes from Michigan to Alabama, though.
I've heard of things like this. Yeah. I don't know if I've heard that was a specific one.
Highway 127 from Addison, Michigan, into the north, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay, there's a bunch of these. There's one that goes from Indiana through Illinois to whatever states on the other side, Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's. I've been to those. They're fine. I mean, it's just it's essentially a community sale because you're not going to travel. You're not going to go from Indiana to Iowa.
I'd never heard of it before, so I thought it was interesting, and I forgot to bring it up to you. So
yeah, I mean, it's Hands Across America, garage sale style.
That's what they should call it. All right, so it's time for some garage sale talk then.
Yeah, GST.
GST. If you're not familiar with garage sale talk, it is a time for me and Pee-wee to talk to each other, to brag about the stuff that we have found. More Pee-wee than me. but the biggest thing you should take out of this is just maybe some more stuff that you can be on the lookout for while you're out there at your garage sales, at your Goodwills, wherever you're out there. So let's do this thing.
Yeah,
I only have a couple this week. I've got more stuff this week, but a lot of it I've gotten before, so I didn't want to just keep rehashing it.
Okay.
One thing that I did, I bought 3 pairs of kids' shoes. And I've bought kids' shoes before, and I think you actually brought them up before. But this is the first time I ever found youth Air Jordans. If you're watching on YouTube, we just put the picture up of them. I don't even know. They're like a youth 5 or something like that.
Yeah, they look tiny but cool.
Yeah, they're in decent shape. I've done nothing to those shoes. What I like,
oh, you don't have to clean those already? Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I might, but there's not too much to clean. If you look at that picture, it's not that bad. What I like about the kids' shoes thing is, A, they're generally cheap. Like I said, I bought three pairs for $5. Two of them were Nikes, one were Vans. These people were selling a ton of shoes, but those were the ones I picked out just because they looked cool and whatever, yeah. And like they're Jordans and Nikes. They're usually clean. I mean, kids are dirty or whatever, but they're not like, you know, dragging them through deserts and stuff
and
like that.
And the other important thing is they're not in them for too long.
Yeah, I was going to say they
outgrow them very
quickly. Yeah.
They don't have time to wear them out.
And another cool thing is they don't take up a lot of space like regular shoes. Like I have of regular shoes. These do not take up much space. And a lot of times they can ship for first class mail instead of priority, which saves you a couple bucks. So you can, I mean, they're not bad to look for is what I'm trying to say. I don't have any like, you know, special things or whatever, but these ones that I found for $2, they're selling for $30 to $40 on eBay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And I haven't even looked at the other ones, but, yeah. So children's Air Jordans, if you're out there, I guess. The other thing that I got that, kind of a first time thing for me, I think I've bought thermostats before. Have you ever purchased any thermostats for houses?
No, never.
So I was looking for some for my own house because I had a thermostat that that was breaking down. And I found a guy who was selling three of them for $3 a piece. And I was like...
at a garage sale or like Facebook?
At a garage sale because he had just put in like a brand new like home thermostat or whatever. Like the, you know, the Nest or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he had like a bunch in his house already. It was a big house. And he was like, give me $5 and just take all three. And I was like, okay. So I took them just in case like one of them was broken. And then I ended up selling all three of them.
Didn't even keep the one for yourself.
Yeah. And they all sold for about $20 a piece. And I was like, whatever.
Oh, that's great.
So my thermostat's still wonky. But this one that I found
in your pocket. Yeah,
this one that I found this week. Found for $5. It's a Honeywell Vision Pro 8000. And what I liked about this was it has like a touch screen. And so I didn't even look this thing up really. I was like, okay, I know nicer thermostats are going. I know Honeywell is a nice brand. I looked at it to see if it was original packaging. And the guy was like, oh yeah, we've never even used that. Like while I was opening it up. I guess. I should have asked him to open it up first, but... it was like open box condition. It wasn't a new condition. But yeah, everything was in there. It was packed. It looked like it was packed original and all that kind of stuff. And he was like, yeah, I just never put it in. And so I was like, yeah, I'll take a shot on it. I bought it for $5. I think I bought something else from him, but I'm not sure if it's the right garage sale or not. It doesn't really matter. I paid $5 for it. I looked it up when I got home. It's a $70 to $100 thermostat.
Whoa.
And thermostats in general, if you can find just normal old thermostats that are Honeywell or other name brand, I don't know what other name brands are, but Honeywell is the one I see all the time. They usually can go for $15 to $20. So if you can find them for a dollar or two, sometimes they'll have like fingerprints on them because people have been using them, but they come off very, very cleanly and quickly. And so it's not a huge flip, but it's a decent flip if you can find it cheap enough. But if you find any of these that are kind of like, you know, Nest is obviously, if you see a Nest anything and someone's selling it for $5, just get it. Even for parts, you're going to make money on that thing. But like this particular one, I just saw that it was touchscreen. So it's nice, which means like people would like to buy it or whatever. So it paid off. I haven't sold it yet, but it's going to sell. It's been selling consistently on eBay. I just haven't listed it yet.
That's great.
And then the only other thing that I found that... I didn't purchase them, but I wanted to ask if you had any history with this stuff. I found these chairs that were like plastic, kind of like school chairs, like that you would sit at a desk.
Yeah, they're like all the seat part is all one like plastic part.
Yeah, it's like one it's like curved. Rounded. Yeah,
it has exactly. Like metal legs, like four metal legs on the bottom. Yep, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Exactly, and so they're usually like yellow or orange or whatever. This guy had like 10 of them, and he wanted $3 a piece for all of them.
Okay.
And I looked at the bottom of the chairs, and I saw a brand, and I looked it up, and there had only been one that had been sold.
Okay.
And it was not in our area, but it sold for like $150 for a set of four of them. And I've heard good things about chairs, but these were rusty, which is why I was like, okay. I'm not going into this. Like, I'm not yeah, taking another thing
I might
thing
be passing
on.
Up on a couple $100 unknowingly, but it's too, I agree, it's too big of a risk.
Yeah, and chairs are big. It's going to take up space. I'm not going to get to it right away. I have to learn how to clean them up, if you can even clean them up. So I left them, but I just wanted to know if you had any chair knowledge.
I think you were smart to leave those behind.
Cool. All right, well, that's it for me for GST. Let's
that
do this, Pee Wee.
All right, yeah, I got a list of things to work through here. It's honestly mostly video game stuff, so a lot of this is not going to be new. Have you heard? Video games are hot right now. I don't even think I have these in order. I'm just going to click through the pictures and show you what I have. This was at a sale. First thing I saw was these books on the left. These are thick books. They're like probably an inch and a half thick, both of them. It's the Cartoon Classics Collection, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Fred Flintstone is on the cover of both. One is a red one, one is a blue one. I thought that these went for a lot more. When I saw these, they're big, they are thick, they are cartoony.
Like textbook thick?
Yeah. Okay. They're like multiple stories in the books, and they're Hanna-Barbera, I guess, Cartoon Network based. They just look like something I'd never seen before, and they were thick and heavy, and I was like, okay, let me look them up. This, again, is why you don't look up stuff just based on the barcode. I scanned the barcode, and like the lowest priced one was like $70. Okay, great. Let me throw these in the pile. Later, when I found out she wanted $5 a piece for them, I'm like, sure, that's fine. When I type in the names, Cartoon Classics Collection, I find a ton of listings that don't have the UPC in there. And each one of these, I could probably get maybe $18 if I lot them up for the pair. So, didn't do great. Okay. But yeah. I did bundle that with the... I didn't pay $5 a piece for them. I bundled that with these games. These Wii games that you see here on the right. I've got Mario Party 8, Skyward Sword, the Zelda game, Mario Kart Wii, Animal Crossing, Twilight Princess, Donkey Kong Country Returns, Mario and Sonic Olympic games. That's not really one to look out for, but inside it did have Wii Sports as well. So I threw that in the pile. This was on an ask. I asked if she had any video games. She went in the house and pulled out a bunch of... She brought out like 25 Wii games. And as we're looking through them, she was looking them up on GameStop, like they're just like website. And she's like, yeah, some of these go for like hundreds of dollars. And she was like naming like the three Wii games that go for hundreds of dollars on that GameStop sells. So I just wanted to, when that happens, when she's like quoting, man, some of these games go for, hundreds of dollars, or they go for like $50 a piece. I want to get that deal. I want to throw out a big number to group it all together. But when you break it down by game, it's not that big of a number. Eventually, I was like, okay, yeah. So what are you thinking per game? And this is before I have like my stack of what I'm. Like I said, my stack here is seven games thick. So I'm like, what are you? What would you be asking per game? What would you be thinking if I got some of these? And she said, well, I mean, some of these go for a lot. How about $10 a piece? To me, that's a lot. That's higher than I want to be on Wii games. A lot of these you're going to be okay on. Mario Party 8, that's more than a double up. If we're at $10. Skyward Sword, that's more than a double up. Mario Kart, that's more of a double up. Animal Crossing, Twilight Princess, and Donkey Kong Country Returns, that's not quite a double up, so I don't want to be there. And then the Wii Sports is basically exactly a double up. I didn't want to pay $10 a piece. To me, it was too close, and it's Wii stuff, and I'm not excited about it. But I also have these books. And so, again, she was at $5 a piece on the books, so she wanted $10 for that. And she wanted, in her mind, I have seven games at $10 a piece, so another $70. She wants $80 total. I go, okay, would you take, for if I got these seven Wii games and these books, would you take $50? And she jumped at it. She was like, sure, absolutely, of course. So there was no negotiation. It was just me throwing a number out there after she gave me the $10 a piece, and it makes me think I should have offered $35 or $40. But I was happy at $50. At $50, that's going to be the top two Wii games, that Mario Party 8 and Skyward Sword, that is $50. Everything else is going to be profit, even if I did waste my money on these books.
Yeah, that's a hard situation when somebody's like, yeah, these games are, some of these games are hundreds of dollars. Like, what are you going to argue with them? Like,
that's, and that's the thing. You can't, I never, even if they're dead wrong on prices, I never argue with what they're saying because I'm the guy that's buying them. And I'll tell them this. Like, if they'll ask me, is this correct? I'll be like, I'll start it out before I correct them and try to give them the much lower, the accurate but much lower price. I'll tell them, you might not want to hear it from me because I'm the guy that's going to be buying these games. Like, obviously, I'm going to want to get them for as low as I can. I will be as honest as I can with you, and I'll tell you exactly what they're worth. But that said, I can see how somebody would lie in this case because they're going to be talking negotiations after this, and they want to get as good of a deal as they can. That said, I think you should do all your research on your own, and then I'll help you if you want it, but just keep that in mind, that I'm aware of the situation. It's a weird situation when they ask person that they're negotiating with, what is it worth?
Yeah.
And it's a very weird, it's a weird thing to even consider doing. This was one from today. Another one on an ask. It's just a GameCube, a silver GameCube with a third-party controller. I have probably 12 GameCubes in my basement. I just, in my head, they're worth more than DK Oldies will give me, and I just need to go through and run them on my testing TV, get pictures of them. When I sell systems on eBay, I need pictures of them running, like running a game and showing them working, and I just, it takes a lot more time to list that kind of stuff to do that, and then I have to run the wires and then tie up all the wires, and it's just, listing video game systems takes four times as long as listing like a book. And I don't, it's probably even more than that. And it's just, I have better things to do with my time. So they just ended up stacking up in my basement. But at the same time, I couldn't pass it up. He went in the house and got it. And he said, well, they might have games. So I bought the system. I offered $20 for it. They immediately took it. And they're going to, I didn't get their, they wouldn't give me their number, but I left my number. Wasn't an awkward situation, but.
What does a GameCube go for?
I could probably get $80 if I pair it with a controller. Like a regular OEM controller, not the third-party controller.
Cool.
This was a sealed Rock Band PS3 controller that I got. She had a $5 sticker on it. I didn't really want it. I normally would stay clear away.
Rock Candy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Rock Band? Yes, Rock Candy. The clear, like colorful third-party controllers. This is in the package, and it's a wireless PS3 controller. I did some quick comps on eBay, and I think it came up as like maybe $20-$25. So I asked if she'd take $2. It was a very low offer considering she had a $5 sticker on it. It was, I'm asking for less than half, and she said sure. This was after I was already having my conversation about video games with her. We were friendly, and I just threw out the $2, and she was friendly enough to say yeah.
And Rock Candy is generally not as much as like OEM stuff, right?
Nothing third party is as good as OEM.
Okay. Yeah, I've sold
for the most part
a couple of them. Like the Wii controllers or
whatever. Yeah, I've seen that. Those have almost been my woes for you.
Yeah. And I have not sold a couple of those as well. Yeah.
This one was from yesterday. I had to go out of town yesterday. I left around noon, but before I did that, I went to a couple garage sales. This was at a very weird garage sale. The box that you're looking at is an Xbox with a handful of games, an original Xbox with a handful of games, and a fat PS3 with a handful of games. This was at a garage sale. The sign said Lionel Trains and Collectibles Arrow This Way for garage sale. So I'm like, okay, I don't have a high. Anytime they put a specific like brand name like Lionel Trains or anything on there, or the word collectibles on their garage sale sign, I got to think prices are going to be through the roof. Yeah. And they were for the most part. He had there's a big R2-D2 that's like a 3.5 foot tall Pepsi cooler. It's a like the dome of R2-D. It's a life-size R2-D2, but it's hollow on the inside, and you can store like Pepsis and stuff inside of it. And Sasha dropped off here. Oh, goodness. Okay, I'm going to keep going. So I went to this garage sale. The prices were high, just like I'd expected. The R2-D2, that cooler, was marked at $400. He had an RV he was trying to sell for 10 grand. Just high, high prices.
Wow.
But still, I don't get discouraged. I just got in there and said, asked about video games, and his response was he didn't have anything himself, but he called his son who was in the house. His son brought out this box, and I just offered $20 for the Xbox, $20 for the PS2. And the son was, he kind of thought about it for a couple seconds. Then he asked his dad, and his dad's like, if you want to sell it, sell it. And the kid's like, yeah, I could use $40. So I gave him $40, and we were good to go. Is your connection good? Are you back?
I'm back. I didn't hear a lot of that story, but I was going to say I'll listen to it back on the podcast, but I don't listen to this podcast after we post it. So I did want to bring up, I went to Savers this week, and they pulled out, it was insane, like 5 PS3, the fat ones, 5 Wiis,
wow,
5 Xbox 360s.
And you're there selling, as they're pulling them out?
I got there like right after because this guy was putting them all in a cart. All looked beat up. He would have to obviously test all of them, but I assume they would all just be for parts or something like that. And so I was kind of looking up to see how much parts are if you can just sell Xbox. And it just seemed like maybe there was some money to make on there. Like, I think there was enough to make money on parts, and maybe you find one or two that are actually working. But I just thought it was interesting that they held on to a bunch of these and then just brought them all out at one time. Like,
that's interesting. Maybe they had like bigger plans for them and then backed off on them, or who knows?
Maybe they did look beat up though.
Okay. Going back to this pickup, the Xbox and the PS2, the fat PS2. The fat PS2 is going to get me like 50. I think each of these is going to get me about $50 from DK Oldies, just the systems alone. So everything, that's $100 in cash. Don't have to worry about a sale. Don't have to worry about anything. And then all the extra stuff is just bonus on top of that. I'll figure out what to do.
Cool.
This was one from today. It's 2 N64 games, Mario Tennis and GoldenEye 007. Both classic games. Both games are worth about $20, $25. And then the Sega Yellow Sports AM FM radio, which I'd never seen before, wouldn't have even picked it up, but it has the word Sega on it, and that's the only reason
I was
going to
say I've never seen that before. That's cool.
Right. No one has. It does have a crack in it. If you look closely here on the bottom, it's cracked from about here all the way up about an inch and a half. But I just threw it in my pile. The N64 games weren't out. What was out was a Game Boy. This was at 12:30 today, and a Game Boy is just sitting on the table with Tetris and I think Mario Land 2, and the Game Boy was in beat up condition. It didn't have like the front screen. It would work, but there's like a protector over the main screen, and that screen was missing. The protector part was missing, and it just looks like when that's missing, which is a common thing, it just makes the system look very, very beat up. But it still works just fine. So I grabbed that, I grabbed the Sega thing, I asked them about video games, and while they were in the house digging out these N64 games, the girl running the garage sale was like, you notice the Game Boy is not in my pictures here. She goes, oh, just so you know, that Game Boy, I was asking $50 on. It's like, wow. Oh, okay, that's why it's still on the table at 12:30. So she's like, yeah, I got an offer earlier. In my head, I was like, I could probably, what am I going to do? Offer $15 for this thing? I have enough broken Game Boys in my basement that I don't do anything with. I don't need another one. Even if I can get it for $15, I'd still feel bad about myself spending that money. There was no way I could spend anything above that. She's like, yeah, I didn't tell her any of that. But her next thing out of her mouth was, I had an offer earlier for $30. I passed on it. And I just think it's worth more than that. They're going for like $60 plus on eBay, even, you know, with the screen. But, you know, I don't have the screen, so I'm asking a little bit less. Again, I don't argue. I don't argue with their prices. If that's what you want, if you've done your research, I'm not going to second guess your research. I don't feel like I can convince you otherwise. So I just left it at that. Eventually, the mom, when she came out with the two N64 games, the mom was like, yeah, just give me $5 a piece for each one of these games. I said, absolutely. And then the girl asked the mom, she's like, how much did you want of the Game Boy? Like, double checking the $50. The mom's like, I don't know, $10. And I jumped in. I'm like, yeah, for $10, I'd take a shot on it. And the girl's like, no. I mean, we had an offer at a minimum. We had an offer of $30. So if you want it for $30, I can do that. I can't do that. I could probably get the money back out of it. I could probably make a little bit of a profit, but not nearly enough. I will gladly let the other guy. I was definitely chasing another guy at half the sales I went to at this giant community sale today. I got the, you're the second guy here asking about games. I got the, some guy was just here. He bought all of our games. I was definitely chasing somebody, but I did get some scores, and I'll get to a big one in a second.
And this just in, she's still asking $50 for it. So if anybody right? wants it,
it's all
head
yours.
On over to somewhere in Illinois.
The garage sale after I picked up this Rock Candy PS3 controller, the very next one I picked up this, an Apple or IBM joystick, an EPYX 500XJ, something I would never even consider. It's a computer joystick. They do make Nintendo ones, which I learned after doing research after I picked this one up. They wanted $1 for this one. It's in the box. If it's in the box, absolutely. Look it up. This one, along with a handful, like I've already listed this, I listed the Rock Candy thing, and I think that's it from this list of stuff that I have. I listed, like I said, I've been listing stuff. On Thursday, after I picked this up on Thursday with the Rock Candy one, and as soon as I got home, the first thing I did was list the stuff that I picked up that day, trying to stay on top of stuff along with some other stuff. I've already sold this joystick for $38. Like it's already gone. Wow. I got it for $1 on Thursday. It's already been sold for $38. The speed at which that thing sold, I was very concerned that I might have underpriced that. That's another story that's kind of teasing something later that I will get to that I think I severely underpriced and that sold immediately. This was a precursor to that. The next one, this one was from yesterday, I think. So I've got two pictures here. It's the same box in both pictures. Don't get confused. It's not two pictures. But the big box that everything is in, this was just sitting at a garage sale. Again, it was late in the day. This was probably about maybe 1 o'clock. This had to be Thursday. It's in a big like computer box, like a computer tower box. If you were going to build your own computer, this is the box that the tower would come in. And inside the box is a bunch of random computer parts. There are fans, there are like motherboards and graphics cards and all sorts of random stuff. And the price tag, I don't know if you can see it there, but on that red sticker, it says $20 for the box. Okay, you've got my interest, but why? PC gaming is at an all-time high right now, right? I got to assume that you know this as well, right? Like people like making their own computers and building them from scratch, and it's expensive.
Yeah, and also, like, these things are in boxes, so...
Yeah. It's something's off here, right?
Yeah,
And it got even weirder as I'm talking to her. Like, I'm kind of interested. Like, even if it is... Let's say it's all broken stuff. I'm still... There might be something in here that they undervalue. There might be something here. And as I'm talking to her, I'm getting more interested. Because she's like, yeah, that's just a bunch of computer stuff. My son got a new computer, and, you know, this is all of his old stuff. So what I'm thinking happened... These boxes look like they're in very good shape. Let me finish the conversation I had with her, and then I'll tell you about the boxes. She goes on to say, "Yeah, we're looking to get rid of it. I know I got it marked at $20. If you want everything for $10, you can have it. $10? She didn't even say that. In my head, I was thinking I'll probably offer $10. She was talking like she just wants to get rid of this giant box of stuff. I could probably get it for $10, and I'll take a shot for $10. Before I could even do that. I'm looking around at the garage sale. I'm talking to them about video games, asking my questions. She goes, yeah, if you want the computer stuff, I'll do the whole box for $5. the cardboard is worth $5. I've obviously just threw my money at her.
It's unbelievable. It's got to be where you live. I don't know.
This was a very weird one. So I throw all that stuff in my car. I've been in talks with producer Tony from the Bitter Marks podcast because he's our computer guy. And what I've come to realize is that the parts inside most of these boxes are not the parts that the boxes are labeled.
That's what I was going to say.
And that's kind of what I expected. They bought a new parts for their computer. They didn't have the boxes for the original parts that they had. And when they were replacing the old parts with the new ones, they were taking the new ones out of the boxes and putting the old ones back into these boxes. But that said, old computer parts can still be worth something. I was going back and forth with producer Tony today, and I mean, this thing that looks like a double fan is a graphics card. That probably goes for between $30 and $45. I don't even know what the rest of the stuff is. I just haven't had time to go through and figure everything out. But I mean, I'm definitely going to make $5 back. I'm not worried about it. I thought this was a very, very weird find. I'm anxious to kind of have producer Tony take a deeper look at this and let me know if I have anything here.
Even for $10, it's like...
Right, that's what I'm saying. I would have rolled the dice for $10. Yep. Okay, the last one that I had was from today. I went to a garage sale. Me and Connor, my 6-year-old, woke up this morning, and he really wanted to go garage sailing. that lasted about 3 garage sales, and then he was like, okay, I'm done, let's go home. And I'm like, no, we were far out. There was a community sale about 20 minutes north of me. And I'm like, okay, let's go there. There was 40 plus garage sales in this subdivision. I'm like, let's go there. So we, with him especially, because getting his seatbelt on and off and jumping in and out of the car is a whole production, because he's a little kid, and getting a seatbelt on and off is difficult, and I can't run the risk of not putting the seatbelt on. Whereas me, if I'm just doing a community sale by myself, I'm basically keeping my door open as I'm driving down the street, just jumping in and out of my car.
Car's going about 2 miles an hour while you jump
right,
out. Yeah.
Exactly. He really slows me down. So if he's going to do that, I'm not driving back and forth from this community sale a bunch of times, just because you're bored. If you're going to stay here, you're going to stay with me. So I told him, you got to go to 15 garage sales. At the end of 15 sales, if you want to go home at that point, we can go home. And then later we made the rule, if he picks something up, if he buys something in the first 15 garage sales, every time he buys something, that adds on another 5 garage sales that he has to go to. So he only bought, but he only bought one thing. So we ended up only going to 20 of them. But so now, because of this, I know exactly what garage sale numbers I got stuff at. My best one was at garage sale number 12. So the 12th garage sale we walked up. It had toys. Connor was excited to go look at this one. It wasn't the typical, like, just regular clothes and baby items and all that kind of stuff. It had, like, kids' toys that were for his age, so he was looking around. I started talking to the girl that was running the sale. I asked her about video games, and she told me that her mom was in the house, and she was currently trying to put together a PS3 and put that out for sale. I said, great, I'll take a look at it. She goes in the house and talks to her mom. Mom comes out, and she's like, no, you know, the PS3, I'm definitely getting it ready, but there was somebody else here earlier asking about video games, and I told them they can look at it, so I want to give them first dibs. Sure, that's no problem. Absolutely, that's, you know, I'll play by the rules. But is there anything else you have? And I gave her the list, Nintendo, Game Boy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, I do have a Nintendo, but it's broken. And so anytime that this happens, and this does happen a lot, if they say it's broken, that's not a deal breaker. In fact, that probably works in your favor. That probably means they want to get rid of it, and if they can get money for it, even better. So anytime that they tell me that I hear that something is broken, I'll say, oh, that's fine. You know, I like messing around with stuff, trying to fix it. Would you mind if I take a look at it? Odds are, even if the system is broken, whether it is a Nintendo, a 64, a 360, a disc-based system, a Wii, whatever, I don't care about the system. Let me see them games. What else we got with it? What else are you not valuing because you have no purpose for it, because you're not going to buy a whole new system, but now you have all these useless games in your basement. What else can we do? So she's like, yeah, sure, come take a look. So she's like, it's still all hooked up in my basement, so I got to have you come downstairs and take a look at it. Would you mind coming to the house? Normally I have no problem doing this. This time, because I have Connor with me, it's like, okay, I don't really want to bring him in the house, but this is like, there's a girl running it, like the daughter's running the garage sale, the mom wants me to come in. I don't think we're in any immediate danger, so in this case, I did have him come in the house with me, and I just kept him real close to me, and he was fine. So we go down in the basement, and she starts showing me the Nintendo stuff, and it's just a typical Nintendo, and she's telling me about how it's broke, and she's like, yeah, I wish this thing was working. You know, it's worth big money if it's working. And then I'm like, okay, yeah. I'll take a look at it. Let me see. I'm assuming it probably just got dusty and it just needs to be cleaned. It's Nintendo products in general, whether it's an NES, a Super Nintendo, or whatever, they really don't break. Like, they can always be cleaned or fixed, or you might just have to, like, mess with the cartridge a little bit. Like, push it in, push it down, and then move it a little bit to the left, and it might work. I haven't messed around with it yet. I don't know. It could just be a broken system. Either way, honestly, DK Oldies pays me the same for a broken system versus a working system, so I don't care. More importantly, I said, yeah, do you have any games for it? She said, yeah, right behind you. I turn around and look at the shelf system behind me, and not only does she have games, but she has all of this. So there's the system, a stack of games, there's a handful of manuals. The important part that you're going to see is on the right. This is the Rob the Robot. Have you ever seen this robot before?
No.
Okay. This is he came in like a $500 set from Nintendo back in the day. Huge, huge box. Maybe it was only $300 back in the day. Now it's worth a lot of money. It was a very, very large box because it was a set that came with the Nintendo and the Rob and all these accessories. The Rob works with a game. It's a robot, and you put in a game called Gyromite, He works with one freaking game on the system. You have to buy this whole robot, pay like an extra $150, and he works with one game. And in the game, he balances these gyros, and they spin. I don't even know exactly how it works, but they sit on these like little black circular things on the right-hand side, and he moves them back and forth. And the object of the game, while you're playing it, whatever you do in the game, the robot does as well. Wow. This sounds like a terrible idea for a game. Yeah, it never works. It's not a fun thing to do. It's not a fun thing to play. But Rob, the robot, has become like a staple of... He's like a mascot of Nintendo. This robot, Rob, is in like... He's in the Smash Brothers games. He's a character that you can be. People know who this Rob is. A lot of people don't know that this is where he originated from. This Rob... With the manual, with all of these accessories. I don't think he's complete, but he's pretty close to being complete. He also has these little claws on the end of his hands. These gray things come off. Those things alone are like $20 a piece. Rob, in the condition that he's in, with the pieces that he has, alone is probably worth $240.
Wow.
Which is awesome, yeah. That said, I mean, just the video games, just the cartridges that I got and the manuals, that's also probably another $100. I asked her how much she wanted for everything, and there's also the other thing was this big case behind it. It almost looks like a big, like,
VHS case. VCR.
It's shaped like a VCR. It's hollow on the inside. It says Nintendo on the right hand side, right behind Rob's head. So it's Nintendo branded. This case goes for $50. I got to find out how to ship it because it's huge, but that alone is $50. I asked how much she wanted for everything. And she wasn't valuing it at all because, or any of the accessories, because the system didn't work. It had no value to her. But she still knows old stuff has value. So she goes, oh, I don't know. Would 50 be too much? And 50 obviously is not too much. But anytime they say, would it be too much? The answer is always yes. So I will always, if they're second guessing the price, there's no reason to pay that full price. You can obviously get it at least a little bit down. So I go, I can do 40. And then she immediately comes back. She goes, okay, how about 45? And I go, yep, that works. So I give her $45. We go on our way. And me and Connor finish out the rest of our, you know, 6 or 7 garage sales that we have to do. And I bring this home and I start going through it. As I'm going through it, I'm realizing that Rob is missing a couple accessories. And there's a PS2 memory card in this whole system. She kept a PS2. And we'd also talked about an Xbox 360. She wanted to keep the PS2, but the 360, she said, was still on the table. Like, I could get it. But, again, that guy was coming back for the PS3. And I wasn't super interested in the 360 to begin with. So she's like, if you're interested in the PS3, why don't you come back in a bit, and we can talk about if the guy passes on the PS3 when I tell him about the price and everything, then I'll give you the opportunity to buy it. Sure. Meanwhile, I don't really care about the PS3. I don't care about the 360. I'm just looking for an excuse to get back in there. And at this point, see if there's any more accessories for Rob. Or is there any other older video game stuff that I can also pry from her that maybe she forgot about, that maybe she'll remember later. So what I did is, after I brought this stuff home, dropped Connor off for lunch with my wife, and I went back out to this community sale, and I started doing the sales again. And when I got to her house, I took that PS2 memory card, and I brought it up to her and said, here, I found this in here, in your... you know, the setup that you gave me, and I just want to give this back to you. It's a stupid memory card. It's worth $2. But in her mind, that's not something I had to do. You know what I mean? So I'm coming off as like the mini hero, and I'm doing something I didn't have to do, and now I'm on her good side. Now, the other guy did come already. He was actually there as Connor and I were getting loaded into the car. He came at the same time to look at the PS3, and he bought it. So that PS3 was gone. I didn't even ask about it. I went down to her basement again with her. I told her about the missing accessories. They were not down there, so we didn't get any of that. But I did ask her about the 360. And here's this. It's a black 360S with a Kinect, with a handful of controllers and games. Games aren't really anything. And I was like, okay, well, you know, what do you need on the 360? And she said, I think she said $25 on the system and $10 for the games. Now, if this was out at a sale, I wouldn't pay $10 for these games. I would just pay the $25 for the system and the Kinect. But I can get probably $80 for just the system for DK Oldies, just to give you an idea of where I'm at. And then the Kinect is, I think, $20 on eBay. But she's invited me to her house. She's let me dig around her basement. I'm like, oh, sure. If you want $35 for this stuff, you've been nice enough to me. So I paid the full $35. I took the games that I don't really need, and I got out of there. So this score, along with the this score, I spent a total of $80, and it's probably going to be close to a $500 score.
And did those eggs that are in the counter, did she throw some eggs in or potatoes? What are those things over there?
Those are lemons and an apple and I think an onion. Oh no, okay. It's two apples. Yeah, relax. My wife is on a health kick.
Oh, all right. Those are your eggs.
Yeah, this is my house. I'm not taking pictures in her house.
Oh, yeah, good call. No, I thought that was part of the thing. They just throw in some eggs.
They just throw in some produce? Right, absolutely. Yeah.
No, okay, I'm all in. I'm not, hey, by the way, I'm not bashing the food.
You want me to hook you up?
Yeah. Organic or...
Hey, we love organic here now. We got a garden going now. I'll tell you about it later. All right, that's all I got for GST. It's been, like I said, it's been a busy week. I've been garage selling, I've been eBaying, I've been doing everything. I'm back.
Love it. Now it's time for Flipper Bump of the Week. My flip this week is, it's a small flip, but it's kind of some interesting information that came out of the flip. So what I got here is an Advanced American Telephone, model 1080.
Okay.
Sold it for $29.95 plus $17.20 shipping. Actually sold for like shipped for $12, so I made an extra like $5 on shipping. I bought this thing for $4.95.
Nice.
And there was actually five of them when I went to buy these, and I looked them up. This was actually at Savers, which is drastically overpriced in my neck of the neighborhood.
Your hatred of Savers is an
old time. I'm telling you, they're out of control. It's a problem. They're selling VHS tapes for $10 because they think they're worth $10, and you can find them on eBay for like 99 cents with free shipping.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So the reason why this came up, like I saw them, and I've heard of telephones being good before or whatever, but I don't really dabble in telephones. But this one, because I'd never seen that name, Advanced American, I was like, oh, let me just look it up really quick. And I saw that they sold really well. I could have sold them even more if I had like four or five of them. And I said there were four or five of them there. But this was the only one that came with the adapter that comes with it, the plug into the wall thing.
I got you. Yeah.
And all the other ones did not have them. And all the listings I was looking at seemed to have them. And so, I wasn't sure if this is going to sell anyway because maybe I'm missing something. So I was like, let me just try one of these things. So it sold. It was only up for, a week. This is something that I posted last week on eBay.
That's
and it
great.
Sold. And but the more interesting thing that happened was the person who bought it seems to sell only telephones. And they have like 6,000 listings.
Whoa.
And out of all these 6,000 listings, all of them say refurbished. So I can't imagine that he bought mine, A, to use, or B, to just resell the way that it is. I'm thinking he takes these things, he has his own system set up, however
upgrades
he does
it
things.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, either upgrades it or make sure it works, and then maybe puts them in, like I said, you could sell them for even more money if they're bundled with four or five of them. So maybe he can bundle them and make even more money off of them. But I sent him a message just to say, hey, I see that you're dealing with phones. I come across phones every once in a while. Is there anything specific that you're looking for that maybe in the future I can keep
an
eye on?
Smart.
Because when you see somebody who is just into one thing, there's got to be a way to kind of make a little connection there. And so
I capitalize on it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I mean, even like imagine if I could have gotten those other ones or had the knowledge of those other ones. What if he's like, yeah, I don't need the plugs for those things. I just need the phones. Well, now I know that in the future, and if I ever see these things without the plug, I know I can get them or whatever the case. Maybe he won't get back to me at all. But I just thought it was interesting, an interesting situation from an interesting buyer. So
good one.
That's all. What about you? What's your flipper bump of the week?
Okay, my flip is going to be, it's a flip this week. I've had a big week on eBay. The stuff that I haven't been selling stuff. I've gone, you know, 2 days in a row without selling a single item on eBay. My payouts have been $26, $13. Like, the daily payouts have just been minuscule. And then this weekend, after I started listing stuff on Thursday, it just, my store's been blowing up. It hasn't been a ton of sales, but the stuff that has been selling has been big, big stuff. This one, I think, was one of the bigger ones. The Transformers G1 City Commander Ultra Magnus, blah, blah, blah. This was something I picked up and talked about in the beginning of June. I think the episode title for us that we talked about it on was Buying Your Childhood, or Pee-wee Buys a Childhood, something like that. This was in a collection where I bought everything, the Transformers, his video games, you know, everything he had from his childhood, toys and whatnot, for, I think, $100 total.
And yeah, I was going to say, I thought you spent maybe 20 or 30 bucks on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, not even. It was, yeah. If you're breaking it down by piece, not even close. This Transformer, it was in the box, it wasn't sealed, it was complete. And I listed it for $250 plus shipping, and that's exactly what I got for it. I was very surprised that it sold, especially with the amount of other stuff that I sold this week, and I was very, very pleased to get this flip out of the way.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, just watching your eBay store makes me happy. I almost purchased two things from you on eBay. This Wayne's World bobblehead that you have for the local baseball team.
Right.
And then this Million Dollar Man figure. I was like, I was very itchy. And then I saw it sold, and I was like, good, I don't need that.
Yeah, that's an expensive one, yeah.
Yeah. And now it's time for...
Well, well, well. What do we have here?
Pee-wee, my well, well, well for you is something that I think I've seen before, and I think one of my cousins actually had this when we were a kid, or something similar to it. It looks very familiar. And it was my cousin who had, he had all the toys. He had all the Hasbros. He had all the Crash Test Dummies, which is, some of my favorite toys ever. He had everything. Transformers, you name it. He had it, so... He had Teddy Ruxpin, everything, all of the nostalgic things. And this is a Beastly Buddy. It says, my pet, what is this? My pet something, I can't read my own handwriting.
My pet monster.
Oh, yeah, mine says, I think this says poster.
Great.
My pet monster plush. You have it selling for $188.99 plus shipping. Now, this is something that you have already sold. But I'm intrigued. Where'd you get it? How much did you get it for? You didn't have it listed very long, I don't believe, so I want to know everything
about
it.
No, you can see this was sold on August 5th, so that was Thursday. This was listed on Thursday. This was that other item that I was referring to earlier.
Underpriced.
This thing sold within 5 minutes of me listing it. This was also discussed, I believe, last week when I talked about that trade that I did with Hatchtar. And he was telling me that, okay, here's this item that you could get $100 for easily. And, you know, he was like, I think this thing is worth $100. If you want to sell it for $100, I have somebody lined up who will buy it for you for $100. So my question was, why aren't you selling it for $100? I got it home. I know that Hatch doesn't exactly know his prices. This is very evident. It's a perfect example of that. So I always double check. Sometimes Hatch is dead on, but sometimes he's also off. So I got home and looked it up, and there were no sold listings. There were no active listings for Beastly Buddies, which is it's a My Pet Monster knockoff, if you know what My Pet Monster is.
Okay.
So it's not part of the line. It's a totally different one. There's talking parts to it. This one doesn't have the talking parts. So I just, all I could do, because I don't have a WorthPoint subscription, WorthPoint is the which I may end up getting, is the website you can go to that will allow you to look up previous eBay sold listings from longer than 3 months prior, which is the furthest back that eBay goes. You can go years back if you have a WorthPoint subscription. I don't have that yet. I'm considering getting it. It's that way I would have at least had some idea of where to gauge, where to put this price. Because there was nothing listed, and there was nothing for sale, nothing had sold, and Hatch had given me the idea to start at $100, I just said, okay, let's almost double that. I started at $188.99. As soon as I hit the list now button, it sold like that. It was...
Wow. So somebody's definitely got that on their saved, and they're sitting there waiting.
Wait, yeah. Just refresh, refresh, refresh. Finally popped up, and apparently, I'm assuming he got a deal on it. But at the same time, I'm not complaining at all. I got more than, if I would have got the $100 out of it, I would have been fine. The fact that I got $188 of it, I'm thrilled. I never look back on stuff like that, and I never regret anything like
Still
that.
Still a win. Still
yeah, exactly win. Right. I got plenty of what I needed to get out. Now, I did have almost a bump on this one. This was close. After I sold this and I went to go pack it up, I realized that I might have made a mistake with the listing. Because as I'm packing it up, I look down and I look at the thing's hand, and his hand is missing a thumb or something. There's a hole, a giant hole in this thing's hand. I'm like, man, this is a $200 item. I didn't even mention that it has a giant hole in it in the listing. So what I did is I messaged the guy. I messaged him on Thursday, and yeah, this was like a two-day thing. I messaged him on Thursday because he's international. That makes sense. I messaged him on Thursday, and I just reached out to him and said, "Hey, I just realized that I don't have the, I didn't make the listing correctly. The listing has a, the item has a hole in it. If you want, I can just cancel the listing. I will relist it and I will update it accordingly. And if you want, you can take a look at it and go from there. If you don't want it at all, you know, you can get a full refund. Or if you're okay with it as it is, I can ship it as is." Honestly, what my plan was, if he wanted to cancel, I was going to cancel listing, refund him fully, and I was going to list it at $275. I was going to totally increase the price. But I didn't want to just outright cancel it and then increase the price. I thought that was a scummy thing to do. If he would have said he was good and he, you know, cancel it, whatever. But he got back to me. It took him a while. It took him like a day and a half to get back to me. And at one point I was like, if you don't, because I have a 24-hour shipping window on my store, I have to ship within that time frame. I sent him a second message eventually. Hey, if you don't get back to me within the next, you know, whatever time limit, I need to cancel the order because I can't have a strike against my account. He got back to me almost immediately after it, said, "No, we're good. Ship it as it is." And I did, and we're good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was happy. For my well this week, for you, I have something that I believe we talked about a few weeks ago. It had to be a couple weeks ago. I had an Atari score. And in that score, I talked about a couple Mario Brothers games. I said, yeah, keep an eye out for these Mario Brothers games. They're worth, you know, more than the typical Atari game, as I said earlier. And then I come to your store today, and I see that this thing sold recently. The Mario Brothers Atari on the 2600 sold for $20. Was this a result of our conversation? Have you had this listed for a long time, or did you pull this out because of our discussion a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, because of our discussion a couple weeks ago, and actually when you just mentioned earlier in the show when you said Atari is worthless, you know, like has a lot of worthless games or whatever, I almost brought this game up at that point. But yeah, like after that discussion, I was like, let me go see what I have in my Atari games because I'm going to be like listing everything that I have anyway. Like nice. I'm trying to push, you know. And this game, I knew already. I knew before you told me that there was money in this game. And then after you said it, I was like, yeah, let me pull this one out immediately. And then I checked the rest of my games. And I mean, they're mostly worthless games. I think there was maybe one other game that was like worth something. So I'm considering just lotting everything up. And
that's the way to go.
And seeing what comes of it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, this thing was listed. Maybe it was like 2 weeks or something. I had it up, if that.
But, okay, yeah. No, it's great. Good score.
Yeah, not bad. Cool. Well, that's it for the show this week. If you want to get a hold of this show in the future, email us, flipsandbumspodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter @flipsandbumps. And don't forget that we drop new episodes every single Monday morning in audio form at flipsandbumps.com or in video form on our YouTube page. Just head on over to YouTube, search Flips and Bumps Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. That's the best thing you can do for us. Leave reviews if you like. Do all that good stuff that you already know how to do. Anyway, Pee-wee, say something for the record. Tell the people what you feel.
Just keep it up, guys. I know we're getting to the end of the summer. Garage sales are kind of slowing down. The heat is definitely up, depending on where you live, it's definitely harder to walk from garage sale to garage sale. But just stick with it. Don't go out for a half hour and call it quits because you're not finding stuff. My biggest thing would just be to keep going. All you need, but the real one slogan that I always keep in the back of my mind is that on any given garage sale day, all you need is one sale to make that entire weekend worth it and find some $600 lot. For me, it was that Nintendo stuff today. It could be anything, and you never know what house it is. So never, I won't say never, but try to be as tough as you can. Don't give up. Keep going to the next house.
See you next week.
Flip that turkey.